Hi, Brian Kilmeade here. If you're a small business owner, then you know firsthand it can be a real challenge to get access to funding. It's time for funding to catch up to the 21st century. It's time for Cabbage. Fill out the application online and you'll get a decision in minutes with on-the-spot access to a line of credit of up to $150,000. No waiting, no hassle. Cabbage is rated A+ by the Better Business Bureau. So go to Cabbage.com or call 855-CABBAGE. That's Cabbage with a K, K-A-B-B-A-G-E, the number one online provider of small business loans.
This is Greta Talk. Now, Greta Talk is different from On the Record, as you know. It's my chance to sort of have a more intimate discussion with guests and with you. It's much different than On the Record, 7 p.m., which you watch, of course, Monday through Friday on the Fox News Channel. But today, I wanted to talk to you about something. I had one of my best days of my entire life yesterday. It's unbelievable what happened to me yesterday. And it's sort of even hard to tell you where this began. It actually sort of began with an accidental email. I get thousands of emails into the Fox Show account. Some of them tell me how awful I am. Those are sort of funny. But I get a lot of spam. And occasionally something will just catch my attention. And for whatever reason, sort of crazy. And back in, I guess, fall of 2014, I got an email. And the viewer she sounded desperate. She wanted help. And I don't know, and I know you listeners, you do the same thing. It's like you can't turn around when someone wants some help. So I read the whole email. It was sort of long. And she was telling me this story about this little child in Uganda, child named Letitia. She was then about 6 years old and deaf. And the woman who I was speaking to is Chris Dietro. In fact, in December of 2014, I did a Greta Talk with her. You can watch that or listen to that on iTunes. But Chris, who does sign language, went over to Uganda, if I've got the story all correct, and forgive me if I get the facts a little wrong, but she'd gone over to Uganda because she does sign language just to do some volunteer work. That's the kind of person Chris Dietro is. Left her husband and two children here. They were very generous to let her go as well because they were, they love her. They wanted her at home. And she went over to Uganda to this orphanage and had deaf children in it. And in about an 8 by 8 foot room, Chris Dietro describes it to me, you have about 30 children jammed into this room. Now, not all of them was deaf. In fact, maybe even only Letitia was deaf. I don't know. But anyway, Chris saw Letitia and they bonded. And it was a cute kid. I mean, a wonderful kid. And she asked some questions at the orphanage, and the orphanage was horrible. It was filthy. It was disgusting. And what you might imagine in Uganda, where there's no money and where kids are abandoned left, right, and center. And she found out that Letitia had been deaf since birth and that her biological parents gave her the boot. They tossed her out. And the reason they tossed her out is only because she was deaf. And they thought that she would put a hex on the family and hurt the family, put a curse on the family. So they dumped her out. They got rid of her. Out. That's it. This kid, go. Just an infant. Just threw her out like the garbage. And so she'd been living at this orphanage, and it was deplorable conditions. So Kim spent the 2 weeks in Uganda and came home, talked to her husband, John, lovely guy who works for post office, wonderful man, and they have two boys who are twins, about 10 or 11, and Kim didn't want to say much to the child when she left, but she said to her husband, maybe Letitia could be part of our family, and of course, that must have been quite shocking to her husband and the other two children, but sometime later, and these are now wealthy people by any means, but they gathered up their savings, and they went back to Uganda. And by the way, now, just to sort of fast forward, Chris has been to Uganda 7 times on this journey. And that is a very expensive journey to go back and forth to Africa. So Letitia went. Letitia and her husband and two kids went back, and they saw the orphanage. Family met Letitia, and, And Chris wasn't alone. The rest of the family fell in love with Letitia, and so they returned to the United States. They then had a discussion. Maybe we ought to bring Letitia here. Maybe we ought to adopt Letitia. Now, this is a child who grew up in a very different environment than the United States, and deaf. And they didn't know her very well. I mean, it's hard to get to know someone who's deaf and you don't spend a lot of time with the person. But they decided, you know what? We're gonna adopt this child. We're going to give this child a chance. So, and I may be fast-forwarding a bit, but they went. So Chris and John went back to Afghanistan, and they wanted to go. They had to go through all the proper procedures, and they went to the Uganda court and the government. And the first thing that had to be done was the parental rights of Letitia's biological parents had to be terminated. Well, first you had to find them. Remember, they had tossed her out like the garbage. And that was not easy, finding the parents. They finally found the parents, but then the question was, how do you get the parents to come to court? And these were incredible. I mean, it's so impossible to think, but the parents, they didn't even want to go to court. They didn't want this garbage. So finally they were, I don't know if they were forced to go to court, I don't know if the judge, I don't know, but anyway, they ended up in court. And it went on all day long. And the Uganda judge, he did not want to terminate the parental rights of this child, of these parents, because kids love their parents, and it's, you know, you don't lightly, you know, disconnect parents and their children, even though when the parents do the unthinkable things. But after a long hearing, and Chris reported to me that the father was screaming horrible things at Letitia, like, you're ugly, you're this, you're going to put a hex on us. Fortunately, I guess at that point, the child can't hear, so that was the good part. But, I mean, Chris later recounted to me what happened in the courtroom, and a scandal. I mean, it's like the most unthinkable things. And the judge, the Uganda judge, finally terminated the parental rights and granted full custody to Chris and John Dietro. And what a wonderful story, maybe, because it didn't get any easier. Because what happened next is that now that they had full parental rights, they wanted to bring Letitia back to the United States and legally adopt her. But now the United States State Department steps in, and the State Department says, no, you have to adopt the child in Uganda. You can't adopt the child here in the United States. And I mean, it was such a heartbreak for the family, because then they'd have to return home, because maybe these are working parents here in the United States, you know, and this is not, we're not talking about going down the street. We're talking about going all the way to Africa, to Uganda, and we're talking about very expensive trips. So they had to keep making trips back and forth. And you think, well, why didn't they just adopt the child in Uganda? That's the question I asked Chris. Why don't you just adopt the child in Uganda and make it easy? And she said, because under Uganda law, I think something like this. And you have to forgive me if I've got the facts a little bit wrong, because I'm doing this all from memory, and I'm doing this in between my own job. I mean, I'm busy doing other things with work, and this is sort of what I've been doing on the side. You know, as I've been trying to help this family. So forgive me if I didn't take notes. You know, so I could have a lot of the facts, but I'm giving you sort of a sketchy idea of what happened. But anyway, in order to adopt in Uganda, you got to live there for 3 years. Well, there's no way that this family, I mean, they've spent all their savings going back and forth, you know, all the times. They couldn't just move to Uganda. I mean, the wife and husband and two kids here in the United States, they couldn't possibly do that. They're not rich people. So to hire lawyers here in the United States, that cost a fortune, and I made a few calls to try to help them out and, you know, try to guide them and everything. And, you know, and this has all been going on, thinking, like, you know, this poor child, and the poor child knows, Letitia knows that this family in America wants her, and she wants to go. She really wants to go. I mean, who wouldn't? She's living in a filthy, disgusting orphanage, and she can't hear me. What, you know, and I've always read, this is why this captured my attention. I once read that there's no more lonely disability than being deaf. You can't hear someone say, I love you. You can't hear any of that. You know, and so for some reason this, and Chris would send me pictures of Letitia, and I've posted them on my Facebook page. You've seen them on Greta Wire. And look, can I tell you something? I know every one of you listeners out there, you would do everything you could to help too. I mean, when you get this deep into these stories, and when you meet such good people like the Dietros, you know, if I could be half the people the Dietros are, or a fourth the people the goodness the Dietros are, you know, I'd love that. But anyway, it went on, and lawyers and appeals to the State Department and forms. And, of course, as you might imagine, is that paperwork would get lost at the State Department. They'd have to redo it. I mean, it was a nightmare. And then after the most incredible, all these heartbreaks, all this turmoil, all this money, everything, sometime in October, everything changed. And the State Department green-lighted Letitia to come here. Now, I've seen comments on my blog which say, why don't they help the kids here in the United States? Well, let's get this one straight right from the get-go. These families, the Dietros, they do help kids here in the United States. Maybe not adopt deaf kids, but they help kids. And there are a lot of people in the United States that are helping. And everyone who always says things like that to me, you know what the first thing I think of? What are you doing to help? Are you helping? So let's put that one to rest. These are good people, and I don't want to see one comment about that ever. And I'm actually sort of fierce about that. I see them on my blog because I'm in awe of anybody who helps any place, any time. You know, if you're willing to help, sign me up to know you, because that, you know, that's the kind of person I want to know. So anyway, they went over and they picked up Letitia, and you should see there's a picture I've posted on my GrataWire blog and Facebook of Letitia in this bright, bright, bright pink jacket. That's when she landed at Dulles for the first time, stepped foot in the United States. And Chris was texting me all the way along. And, you know, it's sort of funny because, you know, I got this day job I'm supposed to be working on, right? And so I'm texting her back and forth. And it's been sort of crazy for the, you know, the whole time. And they went from Dulles, because they were all starving from the flight, because they've been flying all night long, is they went from Dulles to the McDonald's that's out there. And Chris tweeted, she said, you won't believe it. She thinks McDonald's is her new home, because she never even seen home. She has no idea what America looks like, this little child. So anyway, you know, she came home and she quickly adapted. Her two older brothers are great guys. They quickly adapt and everything. Remember I told you that this was like a great day yesterday? I'll get to it. In case you think, like, where is this all going? I'll get to it. I'll get to it. Be patient. We worked on this a little bit, and we got her to a program at the University of Maryland to test her hearing. Is there any chance this child could hear? I mean, could you imagine? That'd be wild. And they fitted her for hearing aids, or they looked at it or something. I don't know, but she just wasn't a candidate. And Chris, her mother, was like, well, that's okay. You know, it's like, I love this child anyway. I love this child deaf. She's just as good to me as deaf as she is, you know, hearing. But we pushed a little further. And I think it was January 25th, she had surgery. She had a cochlear implant put in above her ear. Had the surgery. And, she'd get up at the crack of dawn, this little child. She's tough. I tell you, Letitia, she's really tough. And Letitia goes and has a surgery. Okay, well, fast forward to yesterday. Okay, now we're getting to the point of the best day of my life. They're going to activate the cochlear implant. And I want to be there. I really want to be there for this child. And I wanted on the record to be there, so because I wanted you guys to see that. And we didn't know what would happen when the cochlear implant got turned on, or when activated. I asked the doctors ahead of time, and they said something like 80% or something it works for. And Letitia was at a disadvantage because she had it done so late. Most kids have it done at about age one, and she was eight when it was done. And the other thing that I didn't realize, I know a lot more about ears today than I did yesterday, is that your ear canal or something, whatever it is that whatever you have at age one is fully full grown. And so it's like an eight-year-old's is the same as a one-year-old, is the same as a 50-year-old. Anyway, if anyone's listening to this who has a degree in audiology, you're going to realize, you're going to know quite quickly. I don't know much about what I'm talking about on this. But anyway, bear with me. I'm just there for the excitement of this, not for the technical. So anyway, we're sitting in the room, and I got to tell you, Letitia, she's just a kid full of energy like every kid. Got a smile that will set you on fire. It's such a beautiful smile. And she's sitting in there, and they go to activate, and she's hooked up to a computer because they give a few little sounds first to see if she can hear. And so we're all sitting there, and we have no idea if this can work or not. And we're videotaping this. And I'm thinking to myself, okay, if this doesn't work, is this child going to be devastated? I worried a little bit about Chris and John, the father, who was also there. But, you know, they adopted this deaf child, you know. So, you know, I know that they want the best for the child, but I knew they'd love this child no matter what. Didn't matter to them. I mean, they'd love to have the child be able to hear, but they were going to love that child and give that child the best home no matter what. It's just, you know, that's the way they are. So anyway, we're sitting there, and they activate the cochlear implant. And they instruct Letitia with her with hand signals. Her mother has to do sign language. And by the way, I thought sign language is sort of international. Apparently, it's a different sign language in Uganda as there is in English. I had no idea. But anyway, they instructed Letitia, if you hear sound, raise your hand. And so we're all sitting in the room. It's quiet. And we're waiting for the technician to hit the sound. Now, we can't hear anything. You know, it is actually looped into the cochlear implant. We're waiting to see. All of a sudden, that child's hand comes up. She can hear. Big grin. And I got some cameramen with me who are guys I've known forever. Everybody's all like choked up and tearful. I mean, it's like, I've never seen anything like it with all of us. It's like, it was stunning. I had no idea that it would have such a, I mean, it had an impact on the cameraman didn't know her. I mean, strangers. I mean, it was that kind of thing to have a little child and to have, you know, the wonders of American medicine and the love of this American family and everybody and these people, these professionals at the University of Maryland, everybody pulling for this little kid. And to think that this little kid, she got dumped out by her biological parents like she's trash in Uganda. You know, wow, what a difference. And it got so much more fun because all of a sudden she could hear Chris say for the first time, I love you. Now, I don't think she understood. I mean, this is not a child who had any language before English language, so she didn't understand it, but the rest of us did in the room. We all got it. John talked to her father. Here's the funny thing. She started making noises because she'd never heard herself before. She starts making these noises, and it's extraordinary. It's like she had never heard herself before, never even heard her own voice. It was wild. It was so stunning. Yesterday, I got to tell you, it's one of the best days of my whole life. Because I tell you, when you can see that kind of joy, when you can see when people really help each other, when people pitch in, and there are a lot of people pitching at the University of Maryland, her parents, the cameraman, the audiologist, the doctor, I mean, you name it. Everyone, you know, just to help this child that they had never met before. She's from Uganda, just a kid, a kid who had been abandoned. And yeah, I know, there are lots of kids around the world like that, and I wish we could help every one of them. But Reverend Franklin Graham once said to me when I was sort of lamenting, when we were in a cholera camp someplace or a refugee camp in some godforsaken place, and he says, you know, you can help, you help what you can. You know, if you can help one, you help one. You just try to, you know, if everybody just tries to help a little bit, you can't help everybody. We all pitched in. We helped Letitia. Who knows? Maybe Letitia will grow up and maybe she'll help 50 people. Maybe she'll help 50 people. That would be pretty wild, wouldn't it? Maybe she would help 50 people. Letitia might help 100 people. Who knows? But I mean, you know, we all helped her because we wanted to. The good news doesn't stop there. I'm going to read you the text that I just got from, if I can find it, from Chris, because I last night, you know, of course, before I did the show, I texted Chris and said, how's she doing? How's she doing? Is she adapting well to it? Is she adapting well? Chris texts back, yeah, she's making sounds, she's imitating sounds, everything like that. And so this morning I got up and I said, I don't want to be a pest. I don't want to be a pest, but how's she doing? How's she doing? You know, that kind of thing, because, you know, like the kid, there's something special about this kid. Let me read a text. Let me read you some text. I probably shouldn't. I said, okay. Okay, first of all, she says she wants to call me Aunt Greta. That's sort of fun. That's really fun. That's a text. That's from Chris. And it says that Letitia woke up. The chart, she took the device, it's on the external part of her head, off the charger and put it right on. She hasn't stopped chatting. Her brothers are working hard to teach her to say their names. She's making great progress, especially considering it's only been a day. Now, isn't that wild? I mean, so the kid, this kid is going to pick this up fast. But anyway, so here's the text. I'm going to end on this. And this is why, this is the last text I just got. And then I probably shouldn't be reading you all these texts. But look, you know, it's like we deal with such bad news. It's fun to have some good news. So here it is. This is from Chris, the mother. Just got confirmation on March 11th at 10:30. Letitia will officially become a Dietro. So that's when the adoption officially goes through. And then, of course, she will become an American, which is very exciting. Good for Letitia. But even more than that, you know, as exciting as for Letitia, I have to tell you that, you know, Chris and John Dietro, I've never met two like this. They're extraordinary. So yesterday was a great day. I'm glad you listened to this story because it's really fun for me. And I hope you keep listening to Greta Talk. In fact, you might want to go back to December 14th, 2014 and listen to the Greta Talk. I think it was the 14th or December 4th, 2014, of Chris Dietro. We did a Greta Talk with her on the problem. But I hope you continue to listen to these Greta Talks. Remember, always adding to the Greta Talk collection. Get the latest ones or catch up on the Greta Talk sessions you've missed at GretaWire.com/podcast and GretaTalk.com. We're also available on iTunes, TuneIn, and Stitcher. And of course, and this is a must, watch On the Record on the Fox News Channel at 7 p.m. Eastern, Monday through Friday. Nice to talk to you all.